Jesus Christ. Amen. I thought of this week, all the names we hear and things we hear. I wanted to put the first words I uttered from this pulpit is his name. Amen, Jesus Christ. Now, Abby, I have no problem, Chris, understanding why Satan didn't want that song to be played or sung. Amen. You begin to sing about forgiveness and forgotten and the blood covering sin. That's obvious. And we do have an enemy. Amen. And so, man, thank you for persevering, Chris and Abby, for singing. And just, man, it's good to be in God's house. Thank you, Marty. Lift up the name of Jesus, get us, start us there, and that's why we're here. Amen. And Lord, so much to be thankful for, so much to pray about. Byron's really been struggling since that radiation that they placed inside his liver on Wednesdays. A lot of nausea and just very, very sick. Very, very sick. So I know Deborah's tired, and so she puts on a smiling face and comes and serves this morning, but I know she's tired. And so and a lot of other needs. A lot of others need to remember Sherry's brother, Terry Mullis, did go home and be with the Lord. A lot to be in prayer for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, prayer of thanks, Lord, for your house of prayer, for family. Thank you for our Sunday school hour and, Lord, our time to praise. Thank you for our choir, for Abby, Lord, for his testimony. Lord, we just lift up the name of Jesus, Lord. We want it to be the center of this service, the center of our minds and hearts. I pray, dear God, for right now that you'd help us, Lord, to put aside the thoughts of the past and of the future and just to focus on you right now and believing your Holy Spirit has a word for us, but also believing, Lord, that we want to bless you. Lord, we hear so often now, God bless America. Lord, we want to bless you, Lord. Let us bless you in our obedience and our way our light shines. So Lord, I pray for Byron, Lord. Pray that you just touch him, Lord, just sustain him in his pain. Lord, touch his nausea, his eating, touch Deborah, strengthen her, Lord, be with her, be with the dentist, Lord, as he's began his radiation and chemo, Lord. I do pray for the Terry Mullis family, Lord. Lord, other families have lost loved ones, other needs we haven't mentioned, the unspoken ones this morning, Lord. We just know that you're present. We're thankful for that and that you do still hear our prayers and you're in control. And so we give you our lives and we give you our church, our family. We give you this whole world, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2 and verse 1. Mark, chapter 2 and verse 1. We found out last evening that we're going to be having a little granddaughter. And so I praise God for that this morning. And excited about that. I thought I had a girl first. So I think granddaughters were in keeping with that. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. Mark 2 1 says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And notice at the end of verse 1 here, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him by the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the man wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and there always is, amen. Certain of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they are so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Well, it is easy to say that the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them, all insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Dear God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we be walking closer to you and be able to say, Lord, more often that we are seeing it like never in this fashion. And Lord, we see so much sin and worldliness that we've never seen in this fashion, Lord. But this verse calls out, Lord, that we also, in the midst of all that, realize and acknowledge, Lord, that you're still moving, you're still working, you're saving souls, you're still bringing revival, Lord, you're still touching the hurting, Lord, you're comforting, you're still healing the sick, dear God, and Lord, you still, Lord, our Lord, our Lord, Lord, you are the one who sits on the throne, and we praise you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, in verse 1 there, when it said that it was noised that he was in the house, it's one of those passages kind of jump off the pages of the Bible, you know, because what a noise will do, I mean, a noise will grab your attention and cause you to investigate, you know, what's going on. If you're riding down the roads, you know, and you're just cruising along and everything's tracking pretty good, and all of a sudden you hear some strange noise on your car, Brother Wynn, what you going to do? You're going to be listening a moment thinking, now, is this a noise that needs my attention immediately, or can I wait till I get to the house, or what's going on? Amen? You know, you're in the house, and you come in, especially these hot days, and all of a sudden you walk in, and the temperature's a little warmer than it usually is, and you hear a clanging and a rattling, you know, with your air conditioning. You know that something needs to be investigated. Amen? So what this passage reminds us here this morning is that Jesus is still making noise. Amen? Jesus really is making noise, and there's so much of the noise of the world that's trying to drown it out and to push it aside. Just as a noise will get our attention and will make us have to investigate, that's really what the noise that Jesus makes still today should be doing. It should be getting our attention. He wants our attention. He wants us to investigate what is he wants to say. But there's so many other noises that are pulling us in different directions. Amen? So many noises. It was noise that he was in the house. The people had heard that he was there. So people were talking about Jesus and what he was doing. And it makes us think often about this noise about Jesus. Do we make enough noise about Jesus? Are we making noise about him? Or are we being influenced by other things? You know, there's a lot of noise, like I said, in the world. A lot of noise gets our attention. I thought, you know, used to be you just grab up the paper a lot of times. I remember years ago getting the Charlotte Observer. I like an old preacher friend called it the Sharp Disturber, amen? And, you know, they'd come, and the Sunday paper would be the biggest paper of the week, had all the, you know, the coupons and the sales articles, all that stuff in, and, you know, a certain amount of headlines. Well, we have advanced so far in that, though. You on one screen this morning, I didn't have the paper to get the box to get, but this is one screen, okay? This is the noise this morning. The noise that wants to get our attention. Pushing for a Philly fight, Trump urges Sanders supporters to unite against Clinton and Kane. I'm going to be sick to death of hearing those names, amen? I'm sick of hearing those names. I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. It's an incredible journey. A solar plane leaves on the final leg around the world trip. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? Russian balloonist claims new round-the-world record. The rover on Mars is picking up laser targets now. Now catch this, out of bounds. Pokemon Go players were detained crossing the border. Bless their heart, chasing that Pokemon when it got right about to go in another country. Caught him. This guy, he collected all the Pokemon characters. Texas tragedy, 4 killed, child injured in apartment shooting. Cop remembered, mourners gathered for funeral of slain Kansas police captain. Gruesome crime. Man sentenced after pleading guilty to burying a woman alive. Burned body found as wildfire burns near Los Angeles. Saudi officials makes rare Jerusalem visit, meets Israelis. ISIS claims responsibility for Baghdad suicide blast at least 14 killed. Black Lives Matter protesters make big Olympic move. I can't wait to click on that one. Arrest made in disappearance of Ohio student whose bike was found in the cornfield. Hundreds honor teens suffering from fatal disease at a prom-themed party. Car slams, minivan pedestrians, kills woman, hurts 6 in Pennsylvania, people say. Elderly siblings found dead on floor after freak accident. University of Florida linebacker stopped sexual assault outside bar. Hey, that's good news, except that he was in the bar. Baton Rouge to continue mourning officers slain ambush. China suspends 4 local officials after deadly floods. They'll probably either kill them or put them in exile. Munich gunman was obsessed with mass shootings. He lured victims with his Facebook post. Ooh. Mountain God falls to his death while leading group. Vice President Kerry states air conditioners are as big a threat as ISIS. ISIS attack on Afghan protest kills at least 80, wounds 231. How German gun laws compare to the United States. Toxic algae bloom in Utah Lake sickens more than 100 people. toxic political rhetoric sickening me. WNBA rescinds fines against teams that wore black shirts to support citizens and police. Funeral held for murdered Baton Rouge deputy. 13 things grocery stores will do for you for free. G20 countries pledge to boost growth, dampen Brexit shock. Border agents move to ease English Channel traffic backed up for hours. Now, somebody, you got your phone, go up through all the current Facebook posts. Somebody else get their Twitter account. That's a lot of noise, amen? That's one little screen, Robbie. One little screen. And it was a reminder, and I did that this morning to remind you what that did is all this noise is continually drawing us away from the noise that the Word of God and Jesus Christ is still making, and all the noise that He wants to make in his life. I'm thinking of you, Olivia, when I said her. Bless Olivia's heart. Good to have her visiting with us. She spent the night with us last night. And bless her, she got to listen to the noise of her dad preach every Sunday, and she gets out of town for just a little bit. She got to hear her uncle preach. So I hope this doesn't sound like noise. So it's just full. Our world is full of it, isn't it? And then the noise of all the things that are going on. And one thing that caught me, and I kept thinking I was just going to read a couple of those. And one reason I read the whole thing is, for me, it was just such a vivid reminder of the noise. Because I was there, I thought I could throw some of these out. There's too many to read. But no, the problem is, that's the problem. There is too much noise. Too much. Too much. And it's all overshadowing the noise that Jesus is trying to make. And we'll see later scripturally what the Bible says about His noise. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all church and the saints." So whenever you're confused in your life, the Bible is telling us that confusion is not coming from the Lord. He's not causing that confusion. It's a test that we can always very easily play. If you're confused about something, we got to stop, we got to slow down, and let the noise of the world ascend so that we can get the noise in our ears. Hearing is what that God wants to tell us through His Word. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us." Hear the Word of God. "For we are not ignorant of his devices." Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. I think he's getting the advantage more and more in our world. Don't you believe that? More and more. So the Bible is speaking very clearly. It's often stated how people say, "What's going to happen to our world? What's going to happen next? What are we going to do?" And God's describing it clearly in His Word. He's trying to get the noise above the noise and say, "Listen, Satan is trying to get an advantage, and as you're looking at him getting advantage of your neighbors and friends and our country and the world surrounding us, he's getting an advantage of you and I." Amen. And he says, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." And what the Bible is saying is we do not have to be ignorant of his devices and what he's doing if we'll be faithful to stay in his word and let the most noise that we have in our lives be constantly his word, and the noise of our prayers going up to him and the noise of his answer prayers coming in and speaking to us. We need to understand that we become, though, the more we listen to the noise like I read to you, and the more you think in your own life what the noise is, the more that what happens is that we really do become ignorant, Greg, of the devices. Amen. We see something happen, and something happens in our life, we get on the road and say, "Oh man, I missed that. I didn't realize that was a attack from Satan." I didn't realize. And you come across a scripture and a message or even a song like Abby was singing, you're reminded of all these things. You're like, "Man, I just missed what was going on." In Jeremiah 46:17, the Bible says, "They did cry there. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed." I love that scripture there in Jeremiah, because it makes the statement, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. That'll preach, amen? So God says when anybody, and I could care least what political affiliation, what party that you're in, or what your beliefs are, system are, but I like it when the Bible's making a noise this morning and talking about Pharaoh, but a noise any time that anyone in a position of leadership, whether it be a pastor or the head of your home or where you work or in the political field, when anyone is talking about anything save lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, lifting up his word, going to live a life and lead a according to his word, the Bible says that's nothing but noise. And by the way, gives an example back to the Old Testament times and the time of the Pharaoh, said that's just noise. I needed that this week, amen? I need to be reminded that there's just a whole lot of noise that's being made. And it's up to me to choose what noise gets my attention, amen? What noise gets our attention. When you think about that Jeremiah passage, I thought of really three simple things, and I hope you'll think about these this week as we are trying to let in our lives be the noise about that we're talking, let the noise become out of us. Hey, Jesus is in the house. Hey, Jesus is in my life, and this is what he did, just like Marty stood up and said. Tim did a great message. Scott's on vacation, and Tim stepped up this morning, did our Sunday school lesson. He did some very practical things about how to practically go out and share salvation and share Jesus Christ. So making some noise, amen? Make some noise for Jesus Christ. Think about these three things. When you think about that, I don't want to be like Pharaoh, amen? I don't want to be a father, a grandfather. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a husband. I don't want to be a person who I just make noise. Amen? And there's so often that people just make noise. You ever get around somebody like that that you just, man, and I love to talk. And some of you love to talk more than me. But sometimes you get around and you just realize, man, it's just noise. It's just on and on and on. It's often said, what do you say when you get around? So Byron yesterday, what do you say? I mean, I've been praying. I know how sick he is at his hospital. I see him. Say, what do you say? What can you say? You know, you made the same mistakes this week that you've been making all along, and your wife's been on you, your husband's been on you, your mom and dad been on you, and you know, what do you say? And sometimes the best thing to do, listen, is this: is just think about. Unless Jesus is making some noise in your heart about it, unless you have anything really to say that's going to be beneficial to be other than just noise or excuses or just filling up space with words, that you just don't say anything. I'm telling you, there's many times, especially if you're sick or you're weak or you're just angry or upset, just to have somebody come there and just, hey, have long enough to be with you and sit with you and maybe listen to you and not say anything. Amen? There's a commercial I saw on the news this week, and it was talking about, it's a silly commercial, I don't know what it's about, but talking about about real estate, and the guy in the commercial saying, you know, the power of silence. You know, some people feel like they got to fill up all the space with words, and if you're just a silence is a powerful tool when you're negotiating. Just be silent. And it's a powerful tool in our lives, because what can happen is if we'll just quit making so much noise ourselves and listening so much of the noise and get alone. And I was reading, it's always great when you're reading, you find a verse in the Bible or God speaks to you about something, read the chapter before, read the chapter after, understand what's going on. And we find in the very chapter before, Jesus, after time of ministry and constantly in chapter 1 and leading up to where we get to in chapter 2, he's preaching the word, he's healing the sick, he's casting out demons from people, and then we find him that he has to get away. Look at chapter 1, verse 35. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, now that got most of you right there, he went out, oh my goodness, and departed into a solitary place. You know what I find about solitary places? There's not a whole lot of noise in solitary places. And there he prayed. How simple a picture that is. And what happens is, because of the noise of the world and the noise of the pharaohs of the world and our own noise, what's happened is we don't understand. Listen, this is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ. He is fully man, but he's fully God. And he finds that there's times that he has to get up early, get out of his routine. He had to go and he went out. He had to depart. He had to find a solitary place away from all the noise. Would you like to have a meeting with God this afternoon? God come by the house and God says, hey, just wanted to review all the noise you've been making, all the noise you've been listening to, and the time that you spent this past week, and the time you have planned to spend this week in a solitary place alone listening to me. Anybody want that? I wouldn't look forward to that meeting, Miss Pat, today. But is that not what the Holy Spirit, is that not the Word is saying? God is showing us the example of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ found it necessary to do that, and I'm telling you what, there was no internet, there was no newspaper, there was nothing going on this time, so you have to, in practical speaking, yes, there was noise, but there wasn't near the noise there is now, and he had to do it, we're called to do it. And then once we have spent that time with him, and put aside that noise. Think about these three things. I'm trying to get to the three. I know you've been waiting. Think about this as you go. Are you talking about someone or something, or are you talking about Jesus? Think about this week. Think about it daily. Think about it often. Are you talking about someone or are you talking about Jesus? I put in my notes verbal stoning. People seem to find great pleasure in verbal stoning. They find somebody, instead of talking about Jesus, they begin to make noise about somebody else, what they've done, what they haven't done, just making general noise. Verbal stoning, amen? And it's not fun to be verbally stoned, amen? So we should think about that the next time we're just out there verbally stoning and just making noise about people. And that, you know, you don't have to do it just with your own words. You can just do it with your fingers, amen, or your thumbs. Number two, are you encouraging? So you remember the key, Jesus, I got to get alone. I got to get away from the noise. I got to get focused and listen to him. Are you encouraging? Are you building up? Or are you criticizing and tearing down? Let me say that again, practically speaking. The noise that you make that's not about Jesus Christ in our lives, it truly, it breaks down. It's criticism. I've been thinking some this week. When I go out, it's so easy to criticize. Isn't it easy to criticize, Miss Linda? It is so easy. I can find so many things to criticize y'all about and criticize my wife about and criticize my children about. And then when I get away from noise and start getting alone and doing something, then I start criticizing myself. Oh, I should do this. I shouldn't do that. So it's so easy to criticize. So why don't we make it easier, though, to encourage others? Amen? A lot of the old sayings, you know, apply, you know, like Mom would say, and if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say. But are we encouraging, building up because we've heard something from Jesus? Listen, if you didn't hear anything from Jesus, if you spend time with Jesus, I assure you the Holy Spirit will criticize our sin. Amen. And then we live in a world where it seems like there must not be much conviction of sin. I've often said it appears the sin list has gotten shorter, but it really hadn't. So easy to criticize instead of building up. Yelling from the stands, I thought of that so often. You go to a ball game, and you know, and somebody, I mean, you know, somebody's just yelling and yelling and yelling, and then you've got that parent who, you know, they entrusted their kid into a coach, it appeared, and you know, the worst things, Brother Ray, is a mother or father coaching their child on the field while the coach is trying to coach them too. And that's what happens to us. See, the world is trying to coach you, and you're trying to coach other people, and the coach God in heaven is standing there going, what in the world is all this noise? And thirdly, so I was thinking about that Pharaoh and the noise and thinking about the noise at Jesus' in the house. Hey, isn't it about time to make some noise for Jesus? To go out this week and speak up and to make some noise? Some noise will bring you to Jesus. Some noise will take you away from Jesus, amen, away from letting him work in our lives. God says, I think this morning, for some of you who will be saying, you know, come down this aisle, man, you've got so much on you, so much going on. You may come to the altar often, you may have never been to the altar, but he's making noise in your heart and right now saying, man, I've got to come and lay some of this stuff down, and I've got to have a time, and I've got to get some of this noise out of my life. And then at the same time as God is trying to speak to you, Satan is speaking to you saying, nah, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that now. And you know, man, people are going to wonder what's wrong. And I'm so thankful we don't have a church like that, that, you know, to come to the altar. And I remember I grew up in a church, and it was very small, and it was very not really focused a lot on prayer. And I'm telling you what, if somebody came in, if you came down to the altar this morning by yourself, you know, most people's going, what does she do? What's going on? Hey, I wish I could hear the noise and get the information what's going on. But to know this morning that Satan says, no, oh, don't come. Don't come to the altar. Don't lay it down. Hear me. Listen for the sound of the Spirit. You think about the Spirit of God, Scripture bears out. The Spirit of God this morning says, be saved. He says to be grateful, to be convicted, to be obedient, to be converted. In 1 Kings 19:12, here's your explanation from the Bible about his voice amidst all the noise. 1 Kings 19:12, the Bible says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and the fire after the fire, a still, small voice. Amen. That's what God is. God is a still, small voice. You know, sometimes I think we all wish, Miss Linda, that God would raise the volume. You know, as parents, don't we often do that? Or grandparents, or, you know, if I talk louder, and I talk calmly to you about this last week, but you didn't do it. If I'll yell your name and start yelling at you, maybe it'll have some impact. Does it really? Does that really? I think that's one reason Sandy God didn't do it. God maintains, and thank the the Lord, this constant, still, small voice that it's a reminder this morning, you cannot hear it apart from getting in those solitary places. And Jesus set the example. Jesus, you can say, well, hey, why did Jesus get up early? I mean, Jesus is out serving and healing. He can just sleep in. He can go spend some time with God. And then he got all day. I mean, he can heal the sick and he can cast out demons. He's got all day to do that. No, God had given Jesus a plan and a purpose and given Jesus a mission and a passion and a schedule. And if you're following him, he's giving you that too. And you've got to be responsible. You've got to go to work. Amen. God's not going to put money in your bank account. Amen? So you've got to make that extra time. This place, we find this passage in closing, it's simply this. You find this was a gathering centered around Jesus. Did you catch that? And we're not going into the details of that lame man coming through the roof, and as powerful as that story is, but this was a gathering that was focused around Jesus. Everybody had come to hear Jesus preach the word. They had come to see Jesus, some wanting to receive the word, somebody wanting to change, some out of curiosity. But Jesus, there was so much noise about what Jesus was doing. The whole gathering was centered around him. And if you'll ask Jesus to, if you'll allow him to, what he will do, he will become the center of attention. Amen? He wants to be the center of attention. He wants to be in control of the room. He wants to share and explain his word. He wants to give us the truth. He is the one that wants to do the talking. Amen? So every morning we have opportunity to say, Jesus, hey, I just want you to be the center of attention in my mind and heart during this day. Jesus, I want you to be the center of attention. I want every gathering that I'm having, what's my family, when I get to work, when I'm at church, wherever I am, I want it to be just like the scripture. I don't want this gathering that I'm having to be centered around him. And that's our desire as a church, whether it's Sunday school or having a meeting or if the choir practices, that we've got to put Jesus in the center, amen? I've been in plenty of church meetings and plenty of church services and plenty of things that Jesus Christ was not the center. And it happens every day. John 13:13, the Bible says, you call me Master and Lord, you say, well, for so am I. That's all that Jesus is doing. All Jesus is looking for is for just us once again, or for the first time this morning, to say simply that you are Master and you're Lord of my life. That's what I'd be looking for, somebody that I want to elect to be president, or if I want to leave the place I worked at or be on the list of all the servants for the nominating list. Let's just find somebody who's saying, that's a pretty good nominating committee. Keep that in mind as we meet today. We'll make one of some of our key verses. Just looking for people who are calling him Master and Lord. Amen. Very simple. Very simple. Master and Lord. I think that we want Jesus to be that center of attention. And in Acts 4:13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Don't you love those words? They looked at Peter and John and said, you know, them are some uneducated, unlearned guys. In fact, them are just some ignorant, old, backward people. But they've been with Jesus. That changes everything, y'all. You had the worst week of your life. I was leaving Byron's procedure Wednesday, and I was coming out of the hospital, just like y'all. It's busy week, busy time. I'm already in my Jeep, in my mind, riding down the road where I'm going, what I'm doing. Come off the elevator, and I'm making the main hospital in Charlotte, Carolina Meadows. You can kind of go to the left near the Eaton area and the people area, or this little side route you can go here. I'm headed the side route. Somebody yells, hey, said, basically, I wish I knew what she said, something to the effects of, hey, you. She said, I don't know your name. But I'm Barbara. I'm Charles Collins' wife. And Brother Graham Collins had come for some years for his death and worshiped with us, spent time with us, and Charles been battling cancer, I knew. And so I went back up with her to see him. And I'll never forget. He's laying there. Was it Friday or Saturday that he went home to be with the Lord, Miss Linda? On Friday, he went home to be with the Lord. And he was very sick, but I never would have thought that. But you know what I always remember? I won't always remember very vividly how weak he was and infection in his lungs and all that he was battling. But I'm telling you, and he's a strong, God-loving man, godly family, godly businessman, all these things. But laying there in that bed, the continence, what I remember of him was there. The joy, a peace. He smiled. And even though he was a little frailer, and even though he, and you know what that was? That was Jesus. That was Jesus still shining out of him in the midst of what's going on. His wife had was left us. She told me a story. I asked her, "Are you going up to see him?" She said, "Oh, yeah, come. He'd love to see you." She was actually going to meet some people that were carrying her to lunch, got out of the hospital. So she said, "I'm going to leave y'all." Couldn't say any words. And he kept saying, "I just don't have any breath." Somebody would talk. So you know what it was? There wasn't a lot of noise in that room. There was nobody else in there but us. And he'd say a few quiet words, and I'd listen, and I'd say a little something back. I know Brother Charles was in the quietness and in the noise of the world. You know, he wasn't worried about who's running for president. Any of those headlines I read meant nothing. I remember my father laying in a hospital bed in the living room, and my father had been a businessman and had done a lot of things, and my mom tried to talk to him about some financial matters, and he had no care at all. But in the quietness of what was going on in that room, in many ways I know Charles was really hearing God. Because one of the last things I said was, "Brother Charles," I said, "I sure do miss your dad." And he said, "Boy, I sure do too." He said, "But I think I'm going to see him soon. I think I'm going to see him soon." Some of you are dealing with things, or you may begin to deal with things in just a few days you never imagined. And it may not be something that will take your life, but all the noise of this world and in your mind and around you will take every bit of the spiritual life out of you. And Jesus says, I have to get up a little earlier, stay up a little later, get alone. Let me make some noise in your heart and life so you can go out and make some noise for me. Amen. Would you bow with me, every head bowed and every eye closed? Lord, we are so thankful that you're still in the soul focused, caring about our soul health and caring about lost souls. And Lord, we come this morning and Lord, just with all the truth of your word and all the love of your word, and just that I can't say it right, the Spirit, if you don't know Jesus this morning, the greatest noise I pray that you're hearing in your heart and mind, and it's an unrest and it's uncomfortable and it's not a good feeling, but the noise you need to hear is that Jesus loves you and he died for you, and that you desperately need to turn from your sins and self and give your heart to Jesus Christ. And the first note, the first word, the first sound, first key that Kay hits on the piano, oh, would you come to Jesus? Are you like me and there's a lot of noise in your life? In just a quiet moment here at the altar might be the very thing that begins to let that still small voice be that noise. It makes me think of, you know, how sometimes a small noise, a buzzing, a humming, can just really get your attention. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to be that small noise that begins to get your attention and begins to do things you've never experienced before. May you've been led by God. He just wants you to be part of our family. Open the doors. Whatever the need is, this invitation is for you to be obedient to the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Very excited tonight. Be back at 6. The Peru team is going to be sharing. Maybe we've heard and seen some things. I'm excited to hear more. That's one place God really speak to you about, maybe where he wants you to be doing something for him. And then a week from tonight, we would pray for the band of brothers that are coming. It's a fairly new group. Be great encouragement, but you're going to need to pray about that and invite and be part of that. And, hey, we're going to feed you to top it all off. You can't beat that. Praying for you and Bo, Deborah. We love y'all. Marty, close us in prayer.